This is the King Chasing Podcast, where we keep Christ at the center of athletics. Here's your host, Brandon Gilmore.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. I'm Brandon, and this is the King Chasing Podcast. As always, thanks for joining us, and please make sure to visit our website at thenccaa.org for more King Chasing content. Today's guest is Rick McKinley, the Director of International Tours with Missionary Athletes International. Rick has been with MAI for 37 years in various roles and ministries, including with the Southern California Seahorses, the Charlotte Eagles, and the Chicago Eagles. He has led over 40 soccer mission trips to 25 different countries and helped start a two-month sports ministry experience that has discipled soccer players from over 80 different colleges and universities. Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Rick. Well, hey, Rick, welcome to King Chasing. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing really well, Brandon. That's good.
Well, we're excited to have you on. I know you're busy, so we're going to just jump right in. Can you share your journey of how you were called into full-time sports ministry and then also how you got involved with Missionary Athletes International?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, it began early on because sport was kind of the language that spoke to my heart. I grew up as a preacher's kid, so always in church. But if I was honest, I would say most of the time didn't want to be there, didn't like sitting still. Quite frankly, you know, I wanted to be out playing. And so, you know, as a young kid, it just seemed like God used the avenue of sport or the vehicle of sport to really speak into my life, speak into my heart. And I was fortunate to come across some Christian coaches and athletes early on, brought out from the archives, what used to be, I guess it's still known as an LP right here.
Very nice.
This is the original 1967 Fellowship of Christian Athletes National Convention.
Wow.
Okay.
That's awesome.
So as a 12-year-old, I consumed this. I mean, I would listen to it over and over. I memorized testimonies of coaches like Tom Landry and players like Bobby Richardson, played for the New York Yankees, and Paul Anderson, the world's strongest man at the time. I mean, and those God used those to penetrate into my heart and to point me to Him. And so, so that calling, I didn't know that was going to mean full time, but you know, I wanted to play professional baseball back at that point. I was so baseball and soccer, you know, kind of a dual athlete type, but, and could have never played professional either, you know, quite frankly, but that was my dream.
Right.
And so played, both in college, but my love for soccer really increased in that time. And so I started running track and gave up baseball because you can stay in much better condition.
Yep.
Fitness wise with track than you can baseball. And we didn't have spring soccer at the time. But anyway, I graduated with physical education from a NCCAA institution and immediately went as a missionary overseas to Puerto Rico to teach and to coach and to teach physical education. I mean, that was kind of a dream for me to be able to be involved as a ministry and to do that through ministry. And while I was there, I got to work with a group called Baseball Chapels. Tom Roy, who I know has been one of the chaplains for the NCCAA,
yeah,
a really good friend, and he was heavily involved there. And so I got plugged in and got to share with all these major league players and was sharing one chapel service pregame one week and was sharing on Matthew, the wise and the foolish builder. I'll never forget that moment. And I was sharing, and it wasn't an audible voice, but there was just this impression of God saying, your dream was to be on that side of the room, meaning where the players were sitting. And my dream for you is to be on this side, sharing with them. And it was a powerful, epiphanal kind of moment. And I was like, yeah, this, I'd love to do something like this full time. And so I came back to grad school at Wheaton, got my master's with a focus on coaching as a ministry. And after I was, as I was wrapping up my master's degree, guy that I had worked with in Puerto Rico, Brian Davidson, who was kind of a superstar when it comes to sports ministry, you might say, he came through coaching a Christian team. And once again, it was the testimony watching these guys who love Jesus. We're not perfect, but we're playing in a tournament, and really spoke into my life and felt God's spirit saying, this is what I want for you. That was 1986. And I don't know, maybe I made a mistake, but it's been 37 years, you know, wow. Now. I don't think I did. I think that was how God was calling me and saying, this is how I want to use you. And it's been a great journey. And quite frankly, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, you spent nearly 30 years combined at the Charlotte Eagles and the Chicago Eagles through MAI. Can you share some of what you did while you were there and how those ministries are making an impact for Christ?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I left out was when Brian brought that team, it was with another small soccer ministry. And my wife and I, we'd been married a year and ended up raising support and moved to the West Coast to join staff there. That ministry folded after we were there for a year. Mm. And it was like, wow, we had done a mission trip to England, France, and Austria. And just for sharing the gospel through soccer in some incredible ways. And really began to see the effectiveness of it. Once that ministry folded, there were several of us that joined MAI down in Southern California. And back then, the only office we had was the Seahorses. That was 87. We were there for 4 years, 87 to 91. And then 91, I was blessed. My wife and I were able to join Brian and his wife, Chris Davidson, to move to the East Coast to open the Charlotte office. And so I got to see what it looked like to pioneer a new location and to get things going. And, you know, he and I still dear friends, and we look back on that occasion and that experience and a lot of laughter because of how much we didn't know about what we were doing. You know, I mean, we love Jesus and love soccer and knew that it could be an effective way to share the gospel.
Yeah.
But we were in Charlotte for 6 years. And then during that time, our ministry, MAI, wanted to expand. And so we were given the opportunity to open an office in the Chicago area in 1997. And so I had been in charge of our camp program and done a lot of mission trips while I was in Charlotte and led a lot of those short-term trips. And also, I mean, when you only have a couple on staff, which we started out with that, I was also running the finances, the accounting for the office, which scares me to death right now to think about that, you know, but I got a taste of a lot of the different things that are necessary. So when we moved to Chicago in 97, opened that office and were blessed to have some staff join us there and was able to oversee the ministry there. We started a USL2 team back then, was called PDL. That lasted for a couple of years. And then because of the financial burden, we had to transition from that to a program we call our Summer Academy, which is still running today. We've had over 80 colleges represented in that. A lot of NCCAA wow. schools have sent players to that program. It's like a two-month ministry internship with soccer, playing and coaching and working with kids and traveling internationally. And it's just a great way to spend a summer. That's still running. So I launched that program in 2004. And then we continue to do a lot of urban ministry there in the Chicago area, a lot of work with under-resourced communities and refugee kids. We've started a club there now, or I should say they've started a club. We've since have relocated back to Charlotte, but they're doing great. Was able to turn the office over to some younger leadership who was probably a whole lot more capable than I was of leading the office. But was able to have my hand involved in a lot of different components of sports ministry. And I think at the heart of all of that, be able to spend time mentoring and discipling collegiate athletes, which is really where my heart is. I was able to serve with the Wheaton College men's soccer team for several years while I was up there, and just to pour into those guys' lives. And I'm still very close to several of those guys as well. So
you've led high school and collegiate teams to more than 20 countries. What ways did you all minister in those countries? And are there any life-changing stories that you have that you can share from any of those trips?
How much time do we have?
Hey, let's hear it.
Yeah. You know, leading those trips, I think one of the key pieces, well, there's two that I would say were really critical in leading those mission trips, things that I've learned. One was not to go in with my own agenda, but to find out, well, first of all, to have a partner that we worked alongside of, so that it's not just a one-off 2-week experience where we're there and great things happen and then we leave and we have no clue what happens after that. But to pour into a partner who has a common vision and to try to help work on things that they need to serve them so that there's longevity to what they're doing and to help them be sustainable in their ongoing efforts in that country. So I think partnership was a key. The second thing was just working in partnership is understanding how we can serve the local church or the sports ministries that we're partnering with. Never forget going to Russia in the 90s, was there 8 times during those years after the wall fell, and sitting with a pastor, a Russian pastor, talking about how we could generate all this excitement and bring people to his church and all. And he just looked at us, and through a translator, he just said, my church is full. He goes, I don't need more people to come to my church, because communism had fallen, things were opening up, and people were curious. They were hungry. He said, well, what I need is a bigger building. So if you can come and build a bigger building, that would really be helpful. And it was a real eye-opening moment, because in my mind, I had an agenda and an idea of how we were going to help him. And the truth was, he had other needs. And right. So we were able to go and serve there and serve alongside of some churches that weren't full, and also serve programs that could, where they could follow up, with the kids and the families that we worked with. So I think, what did I learn? I think partnership was a key aspect of short-term ministry, and then understanding the needs of that partner and how we can best serve them. And I think there was a third part to that question, and I totally forgot it.
Just any life-changing stories.
Oh, sure. That was the big part. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I think of individuals that we saw when we returned back to a location who had been impacted the previous years. I think just of trying to be faithful and proclaim the gospel when we had opportunities. I'll never forget a young man named Morton who was on our train going between France and Sweden. And he was the only one not on our team that was in our car. So he really wasn't supposed to be there, but God brought him there. And he was a street performer. Like he did the, kind of the carnival type thing on the streets, but he spoke perfect English. We had a great conversation. Guys were praying for me because they heard me sharing the gospel with him, during that time. And long story short, Morton trusted Christ during that train ride to Sweden. Awesome. Yeah, and he had some church background, but was not real familiar with Christianity, just, kind of very casual type thing. But I never forget when we got to the train station where we were making a stop and he was going to get off and go a different direction, we had an issue with our tickets. And we had a reservation and a ticket. I don't even remember the whole system back then, but we had half of what we needed to get on the next train. And we needed to sort out the circumstances to get on our conducting train. And Morton was standing there, and I'll never forget this. And he looked at me, he goes, "Well, wouldn't it be faith if you took your bags over to the next train where you're supposed to be on and got it sorted out, like from the, like you anticipated that it was all going to work out? Wouldn't that be kind of like faith?" I'm like, okay, this guy's been a Christian for 30 minutes, you know, and he's teaching me about faith,
right.
But wow. It was powerful because God was already working in his life. I think of some players that we worked with in Brazil over the years who came to Christ and then as a part of their church program were able to start a sports ministry within their church. Never forget one of their pastors. When we first started talking about, we want to equip them so that they could do their own sports ministry. His English was not really good. And I'll never forget him coming up beside me and putting his arm like right beside mine. And he said, we need a transfusion, like a blood transfusion is what he was trying to demonstrate. And he's like, that's what we need is a transfusion of what you're doing and what you are and your ministry to us so that we can carry it on. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, he got it,
yeah.
You know, and that church ended up starting their own sports ministry. And they had told us prior to that, that the church wasn't even reaching outside of their own walls, but that when we came and demonstrated what sport could be used, how sport could be used, that God really blessed that and anointed that and empowered that church really to carry on far beyond what we could have done. So you get me going there's so many stories over the years, and it's just like God has proven so faithful, and he's taken situations that where you obviously saw his hand at work, and it's been through a game. You know, and in the early days, I would say sports ministry was much more about the proclamation and about, you know, the big splash and go to a place. I remember going to Russia and being in like six or eight different cities, you know, and we transitioned that and realized, no, we need to, instead of going wide and shallow, we need to go deep with the relationships and pouring into the people that we're working with. And that's made a huge difference. And I think we've been able to see a lot more fruit from that.
That's great. Now, you've been at MAI headquarters as the Director of International Tours and Coaches Ministry since 2020. What does this role look like for you, and what do you like most about it?
Yeah. As Chicago was growing, we went on a sabbatical in 2019, fall of 2019, just before COVID hit. And it was the reality that, you know what, it's time to let them continue to grow and to be on their own and manage. And yeah, and quite frankly, they've probably done a lot better since I got out of the way and moved back to Charlotte. But it was time to transition to a new role. And as I said, my two areas that I think I'm passionate about are, one is short-term mission trips and being able not just to lead some of those myself, but to pour into leaders within our organization. So MAI is kind of the umbrella. So we have the Charlotte, Chicago, we have LA, we have a new office in Phoenix, we have a location in High Point, North Carolina, and in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're looking at some new ones as well. And so I'm able to work with tour leaders from each of those locations and make sure that we're raising the bar of excellence in the things that we're doing. And then to train them as the next generation of leaders for our ministry. Love doing that. Love being involved, but also having my hands on. I was able to lead four different mission trips this last summer, and two to Brazil, one to Scotland, and then one to Colombia, Medellin, Colombia. And so really love continuing pouring into the players and the coaches that come on that. And the reality is that God works through my heart during that time as well. So I'm not a bystander. I'm not just a spectator on those trips. So really love mission trips when they're done with intentionality. And then the second part is that I have a real heart and passion for coaches. I have what I call a coach's circle. of 10 different coaches around the country that I stay connected with, pray for, try to encourage and be supportive of. That's been a huge blessing because I've actually seen God, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I couldn't tell you, I can't encapsulate what prayer is. I mean, I know elements of it, but there's so much that I don't know. But I've seen God's Spirit move in supernatural ways by trying to be faithful and praying for someone else and then hearing the result of that prayer. And so I think as leaders, if we're involved in sports ministry, that maybe one of the most important things that we can be doing is praying for each other and praying for others in leadership and just being that sounding board to encourage, not necessarily to give advice, but just to be supportive in what coaches are going through, because it's tough. You know, it's real tough. There's all the demands that coaches have on them. But in praying, but what's been a huge blessing and what I enjoy is when I get a response back from one of those coaches after I've shared something with them, typically digitally, you know, just through a text message or email, that it was the exact thing that got that they needed for that day or for that week. And it's like, it's not because I'm lying. It's like, it's God's right. Spirit.
That's right.
You know, and so I think so being a part of that process, he's teaching me a lot about prayer and about trusting him. So, yeah.
How has MII grown since you joined in 1987? And what has it meant to you to be a part of that growth?
Well, I mean, when we first joined MII, there were two people on staff. And there were five of us that joined back in 87 at the same time. So it went from 2 to 7 kind of overnight. Some incredible men, most of whom are still involved in full-time sports ministry, which is pretty exciting. And over the years, you know, people have come and gone. We've expanded numbers-wise for staff. And I think right now we're at about 70 full and part-time staff for our ministry. So, yeah, so that's exciting, you know, and to see because it translates into more opportunities for the gospel to be proclaimed and for lives to be transformed, for hearts to be changed. It's not about can we be the biggest and baddest sports ministry out there? You know, no, there are I have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ involved in other sports ministry organizations that I love dearly, and they're doing phenomenal work. And I want to be supportive of them. And so it's not like we're competing out there to see, you know, if we can have more staff than they are or do, you know, bigger and better kind of things. But it is exciting to see the growth, you know, and because there's a reason for that. There's a reason when you see fruit taking place or coming about. But I would say probably the more exciting component that I've seen in our growth is that one of the pieces that we started doing maybe 10 or 12 years ago is coaches trainings around the world, where we go in and work alongside of local coaches, trying to help them develop their philosophy of ministry, their philosophy of coaching, and to give them some tools, not to tell them how to do it, but to come into their culture and to recognize they're the experts on their own culture. But to try to equip them with the things that we have and combine with their knowledge and understanding of their culture so that they can carry on programs. Probably one of the best illustrations of this is in Turkey working with Iranian refugees, where we're training coaches over there. And those coaches had over 1,000 boys and girls involved in their teams.
Wow.
And they're coaching from a gospel-centered perspective. And when a coach gets those kind of tools and says, oh my goodness, this is discipleship, this is ministry through a game that I love, through simple little soccer game, if they can start seeing it as bigger than just the X's and O's and the, you know, the strategies and the wins and losses. And so equipping those coaches, because they're carrying on and they're touching families. They're seeing whole families baptized because their son or daughter plays on one of the teams where a coach is gospel-centered and gospel-focused in his coaching.
That's awesome.
And so when you start talking about that and the growth that takes place there, it's like, you know, I don't know what all the numbers are, and God knows, and, you know, but to know that lives are being transformed through sport and all these places. And the other part of that is, it's not about us.
Right.
You know, as athletes and coaches, we can make it about us so often. And I've been so guilty of that over the years. And I think one reason why God's kept me around and kept me in sports ministry is because I'm still learning that it's not about me.
Yeah.
You know, it's about him. And it's about proclaiming who Jesus is, because truth has not changed, you know, through all the different changes in culture and in the world and politics. It hasn't changed. It's still the hope of salvation for everyone. And in all the different countries that I've been in, everybody's the same in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, and so being able to see that ongoing, and it's not just about us being there. And, you know, and quite frankly, in the early years, I think sports ministry, I know the ones that some that I was involved with, I didn't do it right. I made it more about us and about, look who we are, look at our experience, look what we can do. And it's not about us, it's about him. Mm. And the more we make it about him, the more fruit that you see in lives that are transformed. And that's what it's about. So
yeah. That's great. Now, you served as chaplain at NCCA soccer championships mm-hmm. for many years. Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy most about your time at those events?
Other than spending time with you, Brandon? I mean, come on. Right. I mean, that's the obvious there, you know?
Don't kid. Don't kid.
Hey, I mean, I know you're busy and I'm busy, but we get to say hi and, you know, eat a hot dog together or whatever
right.
sometimes. But
yeah.
No, what do I, oh man. You know what? I love the vision of the NCCAA, and I love the excellence that I see taking place at those tournaments. Not perfection. I mean, you know, there are so many different dynamics and elements, you know, that of the putting of the tournament on, but having a view of the backstage, so to speak, or, you know, it's like, I know your guys' hearts. And I know your desire and your pursuit of excellence in running the tournament. And so, honestly, I love being a part of that. You know, who doesn't love being around excellence? You know, love being around things that are where people are trying to do things well and are touching a lot of lives. You know, as I said, I was an NCCAA athlete, but quite frankly, I knew that we were a part of the NCCAA back then. And that was 100 years ago, you know, but there wasn't nearly the voice. I mean, NCCAA didn't have nearly the voice that it has today, but as I've seen it grown, it's just like, wow, I want to, you know, let other people know about who you guys are and what you do, because I feel like this is so needed in athletics, in collegiate athletics, in all the different sports. I'm obviously most familiar with soccer, but, it's so necessary to try to help guys and girls understand a proper perspective, you know, on, you know, as you said, on king chasing, on what king chasing is all about. You know, I mean, we can chase the glory all day long. And even if you're at a Christian school, you know, or you proclaim faith in Christ, so often we're chasing our own glory, you know, instead of the king. And so I just feel like, yeah, what I love about being there is just being a part of the process, what you guys are doing, and then seeing how it's touching the lives of the players and the coaches that come there. And I've seen some coaches. I think the other thing that I enjoy a lot is the relationships. You know, I've continued to connect with some coaches over the years that repeat and return to the tournament. And that's always a lot of fun, just to see how they've grown or how things have developed in their own programs. And I've seen some really special transformation, you know, in some of those. And then I see alumni from our programs, like up in that came through Chicago or Charlotte or LA and now are either playing or coaching, because a lot of our players are now coaching in the NCCAA.
Oh, wow.
And so it's always fun to see them as either assistants or head coaches. And now replicating the training that they've gone through with, they're replicating that with their players, with their, with their teams. So yeah, that, That's fun. It's, yeah, when you see those generations continue to pass along God's truth through sport. Just to love those opportunities, you know?
Yeah. Well, we enjoy having you there and look forward to seeing you in just a short few weeks as well coming up. For anyone who wants to learn more or connect with MAI, how can our listeners do that?
Yeah, it's very simply maisoccer.com is the best website to go to. And then you can, from that, you can find out information on like the LA ministries, the Chicago ministries, the Charlotte, Phoenix, those will all be linked there. You'll see the logos there. And so you can go from maisoccer.com and then go to the different sites and find out the programs. We offer a lot of opportunities for leadership development for collegiate athletes during the summer. A lot of them are able to get academic credit by being involved in our summer programs. So we have a lot of internships. We have a residency program now in each of our locations where once a student graduates, they can take a year and be a part of our staff and really get their feet wet in the different aspects of the things that we do with sports ministry and see if it's something that that God has for them. And I would have loved a program like that back when I was getting started. But, you know, so there's a lot of avenues. There's some very competitive teams. We have four summer teams, two men's, two women's, and here in Charlotte that that play competitively in the WPSL and then the USL2, and USL2 team out in California. So lots of ways to continue to develop your game while going through a discipleship program with some other athletes. And those websites will give you all the information on those.
So. Sounds good. Well, thank you. Yeah. That's all the time we have. But thank you, Rick, for joining us on King Chasing today.
Brandon, I really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. And just thankful for what you're doing on an ongoing basis through the NCCAA. So, thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks again to Rick for sharing about his experience serving with MAI, life-changing stories from mission trips, and his time as an NCCAA chaplain. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the King Chasing podcast on whatever app you use to listen. We would also appreciate it if you encouraged others to listen and subscribe. Once again, we're thankful to you for tuning in and supporting us. Join us next time on King Chasing. Take care, everyone.